Nagari nagari brahmikir nakoriya vasaila tribhuvana prema bhakti diya. The Sankirtan movement went on from one part of the town to another as the Lord wandered everywhere performing kirtan. In this way, he inundated the whole world by distributing love of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One may raise the question how all three worlds became inundated with love of Krishna, since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtan only in the Navadvip area. The answer is that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. The entire cosmic manifestation results from the Lord's first setting it in motion. Similarly, since the Sankirtan movement was first set in motion 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire, that it spread all over the universe, the Krishna consciousness movement, in continuity of that same motion, is now spreading all over the world. And in this way, it will gradually spread all over the universe. With the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement, everyone will merge in an ocean of love for Krishna. Om Ajnanchimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Bilidam Jena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakala Raghunatham Vidham Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakala Lalita Sri Vishakambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Trapta Kamsana Gorangi Radhe Brinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Nama Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. It's my great honor and fortune to be with all of you on this most holy day of Gaur Purnima. In this verse we have just read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is telling how Lord Chaitanya He spread love of Krishna through Sankirtan throughout the entire world. And in purport, Srila Prabhupada is asking us this question. At this time, Lord Chaitanya was only performing kirtan in Navadvip. So why is it told that he's inundated? Inundated, like a vast monsoon rain, the entire world with love of Krishna through kirtan. Srila Prabhupada is explaining. Just as Lord Krishna, who is different than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, non-different, he began the creation of the universe. In the same way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began the seed of the whole Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. Prabhupada said, and now, in this Krishna consciousness movement, it is spreading throughout the entire world. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining his expectation of the future of this movement. How from this world it will continue spreading throughout the entire universe to inundate everyone with love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's special faith, his special empowerment. One time, His Holiness Vishnu Jan Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada that an acharya like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, or to speak of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they could have spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. At their time, why didn't they? Srila Prabhupada, with great humility and honesty, he said, they were saving that service for us. Srila Prabhupada would sing this beautiful song by Lochan Das Thakur. Parama karuna pahundui jana nitai gora chandra tava avatara sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda. That these two lords, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, are supremely merciful. They are the essence of all avatars or incarnations. And they have brought to the world a process by which one can achieve the highest revelations of the spiritual world through a process that is so easy and so joyful. Srila Prabhupada said, chanting, dancing, and feasting. Rupa Goswami told, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishena. Of all the unlimited incarnations of Krishna that have ever descended within this material creation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous, the most merciful. Even manifested a greater degree of mercy than Krishna. Because he is giving freely in this age of Kali the most intimate realizations of the residents of Vrindavan. Kaler dosa nidejrajan astihe kamanguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha paraprajaya. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. So much envy. So much arrogance. Greed. Lust. Anger. illusion. And it's manifest with corruption, war, pollution, depression, hopelessness, even irreligion is taken to be religion, and religion is taken to be irreligion. These are some of the symptoms of Kali. And human beings become so degraded. The concept of tapasya, or even morality, becomes so difficult. But there is one benediction. Simply chanting the names of Lord Hari, one can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. And therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains the greatest saints and acharyas, they worship the Kali Yuga as the best possible time. Because the greatest opportunity is given. And how that opportunity is manifested. Through the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Param Vrijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Lord Chaitanya wrote with his own hand that this Sankirtana movement is the prime benediction for all humanity. Today we are celebrating Gaur Purnima. Srila Prabhupada, according to this beautiful purport he has given, Lord Chaitanya what will happen next, I do not know. Lord Chaitanya, set in motion the Sankirtan movement approximately 500 years ago in Navadvipa. And now through this Krishna consciousness movement, it is spreading throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada was living at the Radha Damodar temple where he would take prasad and cook every day. Through his window was the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Rupa Goswami. Most people go to Vrindavan to retire, to be in the most holy, auspicious place when they die. Srila Prabhupada, when he was 69 years old, when most people vow never to leave Vrindavan because they could die at any moment, he departed. His whole purpose for going to Vrindavan was to prepare for his mission, to transport the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world. From Vrindavan he went to Bombay, where he got a ticket on a cargo ship. From Bombay, he took a train to Calcutta. From Calcutta, he went to Mayapur Dham. There in Mayapur, Navadvip, where the whole Sankirtan movement began, he spent the day at the Samadhi Mandir of his beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, and prayed for the blessing to be empowered to fulfill this impossible mission. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was a descendant from Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. within this world. One time, many decades before, a few sannyasis came to London to try to spread this movement outside of India. Then they got a little flat here somewhere, and they made a couple people favorable devotees. But that was the extent. And they were young, empowered scholars. And they were funded totally by the Gaudiya Math. And here was Srila Prabhupada, 69 years old. He had absolutely nobody funding him. He didn't even have anybody's support. But he had the order of his guru and total faith in the name of Krishna. So from Navadvip, he returned to Calcutta to board that ship. And you would expect, all the leaders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to be at the St. George dockyards to see him off and wish him well. But no devotees came. His son, Vrindavan Chandra, was just a teenage boy, and some people who worked for the steamship company, 5 in total, they saw him off. And we can see today Bhaktivedanta Manor and all of you, Radha Landanishwar Temple, Radha Gokulananda Temple. Just a little sample of how the Krishna consciousness movement will spread throughout the world and ultimately the universe. And Srila Prabhupada, he faced so many odds and reversals. In fact, there's that beautiful story. After Navadvip, he was on his way to Calcutta. He stopped at Advaita Prabhu's home in Shantipur. Very important place, because it was Advaitacharya who actually prayed and cried for Krishna to appear as Lord Chaitanya within this world, to deliver the fallen souls. And Srila Prabhupada told the pujari there when he was asked, he said, "My guru has given me an impossible mission." He was praying for blessings. When I first came from India to the West, the first Hare Krishna temple I ever went to in my life was in Amsterdam, which was established by our beloved, exalted godbrother, His Grace Dhananjay Prabhu. And because in India there were no ISKCON temples when I was there. But every morning, the morning class was reading from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I guess that was all over our movement in those days. I don't know. Before there was a Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning, they would read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, wherein Srila Prabhupada explains that the entire essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam was manifested in the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one time in Atlanta, Georgia, Srila Prabhupada was giving a morning class And there were beautiful deities of Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya. Very large 8 metal deities. The main deities of that temple. And Srila Prabhupada sang Paramakaruna Pahundu Ijana Nitai Goda Chandra. And after he sang this song, he was gazing upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. He became so emotional. He cried and he was speechless. I wasn't there, but so many people who were there told me about it. There was total silence in the temple room, crowded with devotees from all over America and different parts of the world. And finally, when Srila Prabhupada came back to his external consciousness, he just expressed the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and told him to chant. He couldn't speak more. And Srila Prabhupada, through great efforts, he established a center in Sri Mayapur Dham, just a few minutes' walk from Lord Chaitanya's Yogapita, or the birthplace. He was inviting devotees from all over the world to come to celebrate Gaur Purnima. And then, soon after that, he gave an order to build this incredible temple of the Vedic planetarium so that hundreds of millions of people from all over the world will come to Sri Mayapur to understand and experience the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Srila Prabhupada just put that in motion, in those days, in the early 70s, ISKCON didn't have any money. All there was in Mayapur was a straw hut. And it was very difficult to get any devotees to want to stay there because it was so austere. And Srila Prabhupada was talking about this magnificent temple that we will build, because the whole world must understand the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar. And now we see thousands of devotees from all over the world are living in Mayapur, and the temple is being built, and it's expected to be complete with the deities movement in 2016, the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's establishing ISKCON in the Lower East Side of New York. Well, let us speak something about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance on this holy day. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he begins Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by telling why Lord Chaitanya appeared. There were 3 internal reasons and 3 external reasons. The 3 internal reasons: desiring to understand the glories of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relished through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of His love. The Supreme Lord Hari richly endowed with her emotions appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachidevi as the moon appears from the ocean. This verse encapsulates the very essence of bhakti, the essence of life, in its origin. The nature of Sri Radharani's love. We often meditate upon and explain the principle of bhakti, that the most fundamental, essential need for every living being is to love and be loved. Srimati Radharani, who in the verse before is explained to be the Hladini Shakti, the feminine potency of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami previously tells that Lord Chaitanya's bodily effulgence is the all-pervading Brahman, which is the ultimate goal for the Jnana Yogis. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plenary expansion is the Paramatma seated in everyone's heart, which is the goal of the Yogis. And He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate reciprocator of all love. Radha Krishna Paranaya Vikratir Ladini Shakti Rashmat. There's one absolute truth, and that one truth becomes two for the purpose of intimate, ecstatic, loving exchanges. That is Radha Krishna. Krishna is the Shaktiman, the possessor of all potencies. And Srimati Radharani is the Vadini Shakti, the very essence, the crescendo, and the source of all the Lord's energies. She is the source, the reservoir of all love. And Krishna is the supreme object of all love. And the love between Radha and Krishna is the sum total of all love in all existence. And Radha and Krishna expand themselves as infinite jivas or spirit souls. And they also expand themselves personally in various ways for only one purpose: to expand, ever increasingly expand, the dynamic pleasure of that love. Radha Krishna's love. The entire spiritual existence is a facility for Radha and Krishna to enjoy that love through their infinite manifestations. And the whole material world is ultimately only meant to facilitate that love too. Because in order for that love to be true, there must be free will. Now, some people say, why did God have to give us all this free will when we can suffer so much by misusing it? If you can create the entire cosmic manifestation by exhaling one breath and destroy it by inhaling in one breath, then we have a right to question why Krishna does what He does. But we are seeing everything from such a minute, subjective, immediate little situation we're in. But Krishna is eternally seeing the complete whole, the big picture. the little lifetime we have, which we're so flustered about. Why is this happening to me? How is God so... why does he allow this to happen? He's supposed to be all merciful. Sometimes we don't say it, but we may think it. But from the point of view of reality, this lifetime is like a single dot from a super sharp pencil on a line that extends eternally. So what is the significance of that little point on a whole line of so many lifetimes and beyond? But when we're captured in this material body due to the false ego, that little dot becomes the all in all. But when we see reality as a whole picture, it's even the sufferings of this world are infinitesimal. They're all meant to ultimately help us to realize that our own only happiness is in the loving service of Krishna. In this sense, the sufferings of this world are mercy because they help to sober us up. When we see it from the whole picture, or when we see it just where we are at right now, and this is the all in all, it can be very confusing and bewildering. That's why we absolutely need the association of devotees to help us to see the whole picture when different things happen to us. So the entire material creation is ultimately only meant to help us to be a part of this intimate, ecstatic, loving affair between Radha and Krishna. But in this age of Kali, we have such a tendency to forget. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age of Kali. Through the Sankirtan movement to give us the opportunity to revive that love for Krishna. So it is explained in this verse that we cited that Krishna is so overwhelmed by Sri Radha's love. He knows everything. In the Gita he tells, Vedaham samatitani vartamana nichajana babashani chabutani mam tu vedana kashtana. Who else can say this? I know everything that has ever happened in the past. I know all things that are happening at the moment. And I know everything that will happen in the future. I know every living being thoroughly. But me no one can know in full. That's Krishna. All-knowing. Abhijna, Swarat. But Chaitanya Charitamrita goes so deep. It's the postgraduate study of the Srimad Bhagavatam which culminates in Radha's love for Krishna. It's Krishna who is all-knowing. There's one thing he cannot fully comprehend. The glory of Radha's love. What is it about himself? What is his wonderful qualities that she alone relishes through her love? In other words, Krishna is the all-attractive supreme object of everyone's love. He understands everything. But what is it like to love Him? He loves everyone infinitely. And He's all attractive. But what is it like to love Himself? It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that once Krishna was looking at a jeweled pillar and he saw a reflection of himself. And he became so incredibly attracted to his own form. You know, you may have a perverted reflection when you look in the mirror, I don't know. But he looked and he saw his own beauty. And he was astounded. And he was thinking, only Srimati Radharani can really deeply appreciate, what does she experience when she sees my beauty? When she relishes my qualities? Krishna was thinking that when a breeze touches my body and then reaches Srimati Radharani, she becomes so totally intoxicated by that fragrance that she totally loses her own identity consciously and jumps to merge into the breeze. When Srimati Radharani sees a tamal tree, which is similar to the complexion of Krishna's form, she forgets herself completely. And she runs, weeping and crying, embracing the tamal tree. When she sees a dark monsoon cloud, she wants to just jump into the cloud. Krishna would see this. What is that love? What is that love that she has for me? Something he couldn't comprehend. And he would see her incredible manifestations of how she was totally drowning in the sweetness of his love. He could give the love, but only Srimati Radharani could fully appreciate his love and taste it. As little jivatmas, we have the capacity, according to our nature, to taste the sweetness of Krishna's infinite love when we become purified of our false ego. But Srimati Radharani, she tastes the full, unlimited, absolute, complete love of Krishna. Whatever love anyone has in this world, even in the perfect state, is only a part and parcel of Radha's love. What is Radha's love and how she experiences Krishna's love? Krishna thinks, I cannot comprehend. There's only one way that I can experience this. And that one way was to appear as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna experiencing the love of Sri Radha. Krishna with Radha's bhava, mahabhava, with her love, with her heart. And one acharya told that Krishna told Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan what his plan was. I am going to descend into this world to taste the sweetness of your love. And Srimati Radharani said, when you chant your own name with my love, you will be in so much ecstasy you will roll on the ground. And I cannot tolerate thinking of you rolling in the ground. So I will cover your body with my golden complexion to protect you. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the Mahabhav, the love, and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. On Shivaratri, I went to the Yoga Pit, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, with Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranabandhu Prabhu, Gauri Prabhu, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, and a few other people, where there's a very ancient historical Shivalingam. So we kind of secretly go there every Shivaratri and do pujas and prayers. But don't tell anyone, please. But while we were there, I was praying to Lord Shiva to bestow mercy upon me. That Vaishnavanam Yathasambhu was the greatest Vaishnav. Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu and also Sadashiva, the original Shiva. And it was he that prayed for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the world. So offering this little prayer, I stood in front of the main altar of Lord Chaitanya. On one side of him is Lakshmi Devi, and on the other is Vishnu Priya. And I was just thinking at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasies to give the world the highest revelation of love, he especially emphasized Vipralamba Bhava, love and separation, as the most intensified and the most expedient way of cultivating that prema bhakti. Lakshmi Devi and Vishnu Priya are expansions of Srimati Radharani. They are the pleasure potency of the Lord. And as I was looking at Lakshmi Devi in her deity form, Hari Hari, only in Kali Yuga do we need sound systems. Suta Goswami spoke to 80,000 rishis in Naimasharanya without a microphone. And everyone could hear. Lakshmi Priya, the nature of her love for Lord Gauranga. He went to Bangladesh just for a few months, and she knew he was going to return. But the separation that she experienced was so intense. She didn't want Sachimata to see how much she was suffering. She secretly was crying 24 hours a day. She practically couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep. That was the intensity of her love and separation. And ultimately it came to such a culmination that she sat on the river Yamuna, I mean the river Ganga's bank, and totally absorbed in that love and separation. She couldn't possibly stay in her material body. She couldn't withstand the separation. Her soul went back to the spiritual world to be with Lord Gauranga. And her body died. That was the nature of her love. Then Lord Chaitanya returned. And out of Sachimata's love and concern, she invited Lord Chaitanya to marry again to Vishnupriya. And how they served the Vaishnavas together so beautifully. Vishnupriya was a witness of the wonderful Sankirtan pastimes. The kirtans and Srivasangam, everything was there. She was hearing, she was seeing, she was experiencing. And then one night, she was only about 14 to 16 years old. Lord Chaitanya left and took sannyas. Now, Lakshmi Priya knew that Lord Chaitanya was going to come back, but she couldn't bear even waiting another day. Vishnupriya, she knew he would never come back. What was her love and separation? And she lived a very long life. There's a story of how, just for the pleasure of Sachi Devi, her eating was she would take a grain of rice and lovingly, kind of like we do on a Japamala beach, she would chant the names of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya on that grain of rice, and she'd put it aside. She'd be crying and chanting on each grain of rice. Then she would take that little pile of rice and cook it and offer it to Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya, after he left, he sent a murti of himself for Vishnupriya to worship, just to keep her alive. Can you imagine what that rice tasted like? Vishnupriya, an expansion of Srimati Radharani, is with her whole heart in unlimited love and separation, is putting her heart while she's chanting into each grain of rice and then cooking it for her Lord. Then she would take a small portion of that. And she cried her whole life in separation. And then that same Lord Gauranga, who's standing in the middle of the altar between Lakshmi Devi and Vishnupriya, when he went to Puri during the Rath Yatra, he himself exhibited that love and separation in the mood of his Ladini Shakti. The same ecstasy he gave Lakshmi and Vishnupriya and beyond, he himself was now experiencing for himself. During Ratha Yatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Sri Radha, and he saw Jagannath as Krishna. Swarup Damodar Goswami could understand perfectly the mood of Radharani in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Just as in the spiritual world, Lalita Sakhi knows exactly the mood in which to best serve Srimati Radha. Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing songs about Vrindavan, sing songs about Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, weeping, begging, crying, Jagannath, please come back to Vrindavan.
Kaviraj Goswami tells that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the first 24 years of his Leela, he lived in Navadvipa. He had his beautiful little childlike pastimes, which was mostly his loving reciprocation with Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra. And then he became a student. And oh, what a student he was. He was so restless. Then he went to Gaya and came back and established the Sankirtan movement. And at that time, all of his most intimate, loving associates and avatars from all over India and all over the world were coming to join him. When he was 24 years old, he took sannyas. For 6 years he traveled. He traveled all the way from Puri to Kanyakumari. Then he went up the west coast to Maharashtra and he came back. He traveled around Bengal. He traveled to Vrindavan through the Jharikhanda forest. And the last 18 years of his life, he didn't leave Puri. And especially the last 12, he spent most of that time in the Gambira, exhibiting the love of Sri Radha in separation from Krishna. So that same Lord Gauranga, after giving these ecstasies to Lakshmi Devi and Vishnupriya, he himself experienced himself in the mood of his own feminine pleasure potency. To fulfill the innermost purpose of his mission, to directly experience the glory of Srimati Radharani's love. Radha is the supreme lover. Krishna is the supreme object of love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is both the lover and loved. Experiencing the dynamics of that eternal, intimate, supreme relationship. These are some very brief explanations of the three internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya. Now let us briefly discuss the external reasons. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his supreme mercy, wanted to distribute Radha's love to the whole world. You see, in every yuga there's a yuga dharma. And actually, every Kali Yuga, Harinam Sankirtan, is the Yuga Dharma. In Satya Yuga, the recommended process is meditation. To perform that type of meditation and attain Prema Bhakti, the average lifetime is about 100,000 years. You would have to sit in total absorption, samadhi, for about 60,000 years in meditation to get that love of God. It seems difficult for you and me, but in Satya Yuga, it wasn't that difficult, but quite difficult. There was a price. In Treta Yuga, performing of yajna. But the yajna had to be absolutely perfect precision. In Treta Yuga, to perform a single yajna properly, you would have to prepare for thousands of years to make it right. (Clears throat) in Dwapara Yuga, perfect temple worship. These things are practically impossible in Kali Yuga. So the Yuga avatar of Kali teaches Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranita. Simply chant the names of Hari and you will attain that same perfection. It was the time for the Yuga avatar. And Krishna himself decided that he would come in his original form. This only happens once in a day of Brahma. The Yuga avatar of Kali, for Krishna to come in the sweet mood of Srimati Radharani to distribute personally Srimati Radharani's love to the world through kirtan, doesn't happen every Kali Yuga. It happens once in a day of Brahma. And of course, after the day, there's a night. That's approximately, it's over 8 billion years. Hare Krishna. Very rare. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he would see the whole picture. So he would sometimes say, just recently Lord Chaitanya came. Now, for us, 500 years ago is not so recent. But considering he comes once every 8 billion years, it's very recent. He came to spread this Prem Sankirtan. There's a beautiful story. King Pratapa Rudra, he had never seen the devotees before except Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinathacharya. And from the rooftop of his palace, Lord Chaitanya was greeting the devotees. There was about 300 or 400 coming from Navadweep, Shantipur, Srikanda, Kulinagram, all these areas. They were coming, performing kirtan. King Prataparudra was expressing, I have never seen such effulgence. I've never heard such beautiful, beautiful sound of kirtan. Now, King Prataparudra, the king of Puri, he had seen tens and thousands of kirtan parties. But nothing like this. He asked Gopinathacharya and Sarvabhauma, what is this? And they said, this is the special feature of Lord Chaitanya's gift to the world. He has come to establish Prem Sankirtan. Not just the chanting of the holy names. And we should appreciate this. Because kirtan's common everywhere in India. Even if you go to the places of Shankaracharya, people are doing kirtan. Kirtan is everywhere in India. But what is special and unique? Prem Sankirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bring the type of kirtan that actually transports us to Goloka Vrindavan. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parampara, he has infused in the holy name Sri Radha's love. The love of the Brijabasis. This is the special feature that Srila Prabhupada has come to give us. And you know, from the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can understand and deeply be grateful and appreciate the fortune that we have. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came Prem Sankirtan. It's described the nature of the Prem or the love of the gopis and the Brijabasis. Kaviraj Goswami tells that the residents of Vrindavan, they have no inclination for their own sustenance, protection, or enjoyment. Their absolute everything is only for Krishna's pleasure. There's that beautiful story of when Krishna had headache. He was asking for the dust of the feet of other people. The sages, the yogis, the jnanis, they knew who Krishna was. We can't put our feet on Krishna's head. But the gopis immediately were collecting. They were scraping every bit of dust they could get from their feet and putting it in little boxes to send to Krishna. And when they were asked, they said, yes, of course we know. We'll probably go to hell for this. The gopis were willing to suffer the pangs of hell for eternity, if necessary, if it would relieve Krishna of his headache for one moment. That is the nature of their love. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, love of God is defined. Savai pungshang puro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshiti ahoitiki apruti hata yagatma supracedati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is divine loving service to the one supreme Lord. Such love must be unmotivated by any selfish interest and uninterrupted by any condition. Happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor. For a true devotee, nothing can interrupt the flow of our love and our willingness to serve. How Srila Prabhupada manifested that? Unconditional. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, in the mood of Sri Radha, revealed her love and taught us. Natanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kame. Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoite kidvai. I do not want wealth, the beauty and pleasures of the opposite sex. I do not want followers, prestige, fame, scholarship. I don't want mystical powers. I don't even want liberation from suffering. I only want to please you and serve you. And if it's your desire, birth after birth after birth. This is the love of the residents of Vrindavan. We read about the gopis, how they make themselves so beautiful. But their beauty is only for Krishna. Because Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham. Whatever you wish is fulfilled. The gopis' beauty is ever increasing infinitely. Because they desire to be beautiful for Krishna. It's not that they look in the mirror and think, I'm so beautiful. They just want to please Krishna with their beauty. And when they sing for Krishna, their only desire is to sing so beautiful to give pleasure to Krishna. So their singing is ever increasingly, eternally, sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. There's no stagnancy. This is the spiritual world and their dance. And even when they say to Krishna, oh, why are you hurting me? They're only saying that to give pleasure to Krishna. Nothing for themselves. This is unconditional love. The highest ecstasies. In the most intimate forms of Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, Krishna explained, love is crippled by this sense of reverence for the majesty of God. But only in Vrindavan. The gopas climb on Krishna's shoulders and wrestle with him and joke with him. And they splash water on each other. They pretend they're monkeys together and dance like peacocks together. And Krishna is defeated in wrestling by his friends. And Yashoda Mai, she's chastising Krishna. She's punishing Krishna. And Krishna's weeping and crying, begging for her mercy. And the gopis, they only know him as a lover. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham, the highest culmination of love of God in its sweetest, most unconditional, intimate forms. This is the benediction through our parampara of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that is revealed through the chanting of the holy names. So this was the first reason to establish the Yuga Dharma. Second was to fulfill his promise, which he spoke in Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tuduskritam dharmasamstapanaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That in order to protect the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish true religious principles, I descend into this world again and again. He came to reestablish those religious principles and attract the hearts of his loving devotees. And there's a third, very special reason the Lord appeared. To reciprocate with the compassion of his great devotee, Advaitacharya. And here we will briefly begin the story of Lord Chaitanya's descent into the world. In Srihatta, which is today Bangladesh, there was a very, very great Brahmin devotee of the name Upendra Mishra. He had 7 sons. The most illustrious of all his sons was Jagannath Mishra. He left Srihatta to come to Navadvip in order to study under a very great scholar of the name Nilambar Chakravarti. He resided on the bank of the Ganga. Nilambar Chakravarti saw in Jagannath Mishra such a divine personality. And he understood the will of the Lord as well. So he married his beloved daughter Sachi Devi to Jagannath Mishra. It is described that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to descend into this world, he sent many of his greatest expansions, avatars and devotees to prepare the way for him. Hanuman, in the form of Murari Gupta. Appeared in Bangladesh. In fact, years ago I went to his birthplace. Advaitacharya appeared in Navagram. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Acharya Ratna, Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi, Paramananda Puri. Nityananda Prabhu appeared in the district of Radhadesh in the village of Ekachakra to Padmavati and Adai Pandit. They were all there to prepare the way for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sachi Devi, please just take this away. She had 8 daughters. Each one of them died immediately after taking birth. So Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, this was causing them great grief. So they began to very much increase their loving devotional service to their Shalagram Shila. And ultimately an expansion of Nityananda, Balaram, appeared as their son. His name was Vishwarup. And Srila Prabhupada explains here that after they had this beautiful, supremely auspicious child, most people, they worship the Lord when they're in difficulty, and then once things are nice, then okay, Krishna, thank you. Like that. But they increased their worship because they were so grateful. And then the Supreme Lord Krishna, endowed with the love of Sri Radharani, appeared in the mind of Jagannath Mishra. And just as when the full moon rises, the sun transfers its light to illuminate the moon, in a similar way, from the heart of Jagannath Mishra, the Lord was transferred to the heart of Sachi Devi. And from her heart, he manifested within her womb and began to grow. And when the Lord was in the womb of Sachi Devi, everything became so auspicious. There are so many stories. Sachi Devi would tell Jagannath Mishra, I don't know what's happening. Sometimes I just see all these celestial beings offering prayers to the child in my womb. And Jagannath Mishra said, What I'm experiencing, sometimes I just go out and people start offering me gifts. They never did this before. Everything was so special. They loved this child. Inconceivably, unlimitedly, because Jagannath Mishra is Nanda Maharaj, Sachi Mata is Yashoda Mai. That's those same personalities with that same love for Krishna. We're living in Navadvip. The time for the birth, 9 months. It came, it went. 10 months. 11 months. 12 months. It was now coming to the 13th month. And the child was just not moving. So this really alarmed the parents. So they went to Nilambar Chakravarti, Sachi Devi's father, and asked, can you tell us what's happening? And he did a special astrological calculation. And his conclusion was, this is a supremely auspicious child who is especially waiting for the most auspicious possible moment to appear. Now in India, an eclipse is considered inauspicious. People have so many superstitions about eclipses. Even many devotees, actually. I was in one place at a temple where they put black paper over every window and locked the doors. Because if even a single trace of the light of an eclipse comes into the house, it's considered everything's contaminated. And even in Vrindavan, during eclipses, all the temples are closed. But some of the pujaris tell me, but secretly behind the closed doors, we do all our puja. Anyways, it's considered inauspicious. And because it's considered so inauspicious, people, in order to save themselves from these dark influences, they chant the names of Hari. I was told in Bengal that many people, their whole life, they will chant the names of Durga. But when they're dying, they chant the names of Hari. So everyone, everywhere, was chanting Hari's names. And Advaitacharya and all the devotees, let me just speak something about Advaita. For years, he could see the lamentable condition of the people of Navadvipa. It was the high place of learning for the whole world. But yet there was no sense of devotion. Everyone was learning because they wanted to increase their fame, their prestige, their fortunes. They wanted mystical powers, they wanted liberation. But there was no sense of devotion. This caused such pain to Advaitacharya. Interesting, Navadvipa was a flourishing place. Economically, it was prosperous as anything. As far as colleges and education, everyone had the most incredible opportunities. So from a material perspective, Navadvipa was far more prosperous than any place in the world today. But yet his heart was totally broken because he saw that people were so mesmerized and addicted to these materialistic things. They had no devotion to Krishna. Nobody was chanting with devotion. He was crying, weeping out of compassion. And he saw in the future how Kali Yuga was going to decline worse and worse. Advaitacharya was seeing our condition today. And he was weeping, weeping, and weeping. He would spend his days and his nights practically on the bank of the Ganges. Only Krishna can save these people. And he was crying for Krishna to appear. And his cries reached Goloka Vrindavan. And in order to reciprocate with Advaita's prayers, Krishna appeared. And here was the time where in all directions the Hindus were chanting Hari. And even the Muslims, when they would see, they would ridicule by saying Hari. Everyone was chanting Hari. And it was at that time the most auspicious of all moments. You see, auspiciousness. There's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that the supremely most auspicious of all activities is Sankirtan. And if inauspicious, painful disasters in this world, help us to take shelter of the holy name. That's the most auspicious thing. Wherever we cry out for Krishna, that is auspicious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish the Sankirtan movement, and he induced the whole of Navadvipa to be chanting as he appeared like the moon from the ocean of the womb of Sachidevi. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. And I am now out of time, huh?
Until 10 minutes.
Jai. You are giving 10 more minutes. Sorry, you have to tolerate me 10 more minutes. And we know the story when he was just a little child. He was so beautiful. He had the golden complexion of Sri Radha. And anyone who saw him would fall in love with him. Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur were in Shantipur. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, they felt such unbelievable, inconceivable happiness. They didn't even know what happened. By the Lord's Yogamaya potency, nobody really knew. But they felt such a happiness. They knew in their hearts, our Lord has appeared. And they were dancing and singing and crying. And everybody around was wondering what happened to them. This is another very, very special message that Lord Chaitanya gave us. Because to induce Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come, Advaitacharya, the most prestigious, high-born Brahmin, he was the king of the whole Brahmin community, most respected. He was doing his prayers and crying with tulsi leaves and Ganges water, calling the names for Krishna to appear. And at the same time, his dear most intimate friend, Haridas Thakur, who was an untouchable, who had no caste. In the same mood as Advaita, he was chanting his 300,000 names of Krishna every day, living in a cave with a snake sometimes, with this singular wish for the Lord Krishna to appear in this world to deliver the fallen souls. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared due to the loving relationship of an untouchable and a Brahman, Haridas and Advaita, whose hearts were merged in their compassion for all living beings. And Srivas Thakur, he and his brothers, they were performing their kirtans at their house, begging Krishna to appear. And now the Lord appeared as little Gaur Hari. And when it came for his birth ceremony, a Brahmin came, Nilambar Chakravarti came, and revealed to the people the supreme opulences of the Lord, without telling exactly who he was. Nilambar, he said, because this child will nourish the entire universe, his name will be Vishwambar. And Sachidevi, because she lost so many other children, 8 daughters, she gave birth to Nimai under a neem tree. So to protect him from evil spirits, she named him Nimai. And Jagannath Mishra, seeing his beautiful golden limbs, called him Gauranga. And the neighbors, they thought, he looks just like Lord Hari, but he has a golden complexion, so they called him Gaur Hari. So everyone was calling him by these beautiful different names. But they loved him. And just as this baby is crying in the back, sometimes Nimai would cry. And when he would cry, it was worse than death, because everyone loved him. They didn't know he was Krishna, but they loved him unconditionally. In Vrindavan, the sweetness of the love is they don't know Krishna's God. They just love him because he's Krishna. In the same way, they didn't know Nimai was Krishna. They just loved him because he was Nimai, but he was Krishna. And to please him and make him happy was the only happiness of their life. And when he would cry, that was the only suffering in their life. So he would cry. And the only thing that could pacify him was when everyone who happened to be there gathered together around his little bed, clapped their hands, and chanted the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When he saw everyone together chanting, he smiled. And that smile, so beautiful, so sweet, so full of love, penetrated so deep in their hearts with such joy. And then after some time, he'd cry again, and they'd gather around and chant, and he would smile. And this was the pastimes of the Lord. From his infancy, he was inducing all of his devotees to find the supreme joy of the chanting of the holy names, Sankirtan. How much more time? If I start telling another story, it's going finished. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.